Live in our hearts, fill this body, stir our spirits, help us serve. Walk with our feet to the hurting. Let us be you, revive your church. Let us be you on this earth.
Well, good morning, Mission Viejo Church of Christ. What a great day to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I don't know about you, but I am so thankful to have woken up this morning. So thankful that God put breath in my lungs and he has given me my right mind. Some would disagree, but he allowed me to get out of bed this morning and to stretch and to get dressed and to hop in my car. And I have food in the cupboard. I have a wonderful family. I just feel so grateful and so thankful and so blessed. And I hope and pray that you feel blessed this morning as well. We serve a loving, gracious God that loves us so much and cares for us unconditionally. And for that, we ought to be excited. If you're visiting with us for the first time or just passing through, thank you for being here with us this morning. You could have been at a number of different places. Football season is now hot and heavy, but you're here with us this morning, so thank you so much for being here. And if you're looking for a church home, we always want to give you the opportunity to get plugged in here. And here's our procedure, our protocol, our standard operating procedures, as we say in the Army. There's a card in the back of the pew that you can look at and that you can fill out. And on that card, it has a bunch of different options for you, right? So you can say that you'd like to place membership here and pass that card into me or one of our shepherds and we'll plug you in. Maybe you're looking for baptism. Maybe you're ready to put the Lord on in baptism. It's on there as well. Or maybe you're simply looking for prayer. Whatever your needs or concerns are, fill that card out, turn it into one of us, and we want to make sure we connect with you and invite you to this wonderful, wonderful church we have here. I believe we have a great church. I believe we have wonderful members here, and I really, really missed you guys last week. Last week, I was up in the Bay Area conducting my military training, so I got to put my uniform on and go in and play soldier, so it was great. I do the same thing I do here up there with the Army, except up there, I get to be mean about it, so that's the only, it's really the only difference. But while I was gone, you had one of my very closest friends come and speak to you. His name was Josh Davidson, and I got to watch him live stream. And the only thing I can say about Josh is don't believe anything he has to say, okay? Because he's an interesting guy, but we were good friends. I'm so thankful that he was able to come out. So, Josh, if you're watching, thank you so much, and thank you, church, for welcoming him. This morning, I want to let you know something. I want to let you know that I have a PhD in complaining. I do. And maybe some of you have PhDs in complaining as well. I mean, I'm a great complainer. It's like I've been educated from the school of hard knocks, and I have a badge. And sometimes I can complain like the best of them. I am a subject matter expert on finding something to speak negatively about. I can do it really, really well. I mean, I could be on vacation in Hawaii for 3 weeks, and I can find something to complain about. The sand is too hot on the bottom of my feet. The water is too cold and too blue. The sun is too bright today. All of us can kind of empathize with that just a little bit. We have become subject matter experts on this topic of complaining. So this morning, the title of the message is All Things Without. And the passage that we're really going to be focusing on this morning is found in Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 15. That's our key verse this morning. So the real question is, well, why talk about complaining? Why talk about about this? Well, I think we live in a day and age and in a culture where we're very, very busy and things are difficult. We have a lot of obligations, a lot of duties, and life is hard sometimes. And usually what helps us in these hard times is to complain just a little bit, right? Some people call it venting because they don't want to say complain. Still the same thing in a sense, right? But as believers in Jesus Christ, the scripture is very clear on complaining, isn't it? And I don't know about you, I wish we could just cut this verse out of the Bible and throw it away, but we can't do that. Scripture says something very profound here in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14 and 15. But before we get there, like I said, we have obligations to complete. We have stress, we have bills, we have etc. Our kids this week completed their first week of school, and I saw this wonderful picture that if you could pull to that I think illustrates how some of us feel when it comes to school starting and children in particular with their obligations and responsibilities. My kids start school, or they started school this week at Del Lago Elementary School, and I thought my kids would be fired up, but as I begin to study and look around a bit, I came to realize that kids aren't really excited about school. And if you look at this picture, I love this picture so much, there's a lot of different things going on here. First of all, I didn't know a stay-at-home mom could jump that high, but she has some skills to get that high in the air, right? And she has her three children with different looks on their faces about school. I love the kid that is closest to mom with his head completely down, like he's just totally defeated and does not want to go to school. And then the guy in the middle is just stuck. I don't know what to do. I have to go back. This is just. And then the daughter on the far end is just looking with this confused look in her face. Why is that? Well, for kids, school is difficult, and they often complain about the obligations that they have to handle. I love this picture so much because we see a bunch of different perspectives. We see mom very excited and happy, and for those of us that have young kids, we could probably understand this just a little bit. I think Mary did a backflip. I didn't know she could do that. But then we see these kids. And what I want to say about that is that we all complain sometimes. We can't help it. It's a part of the human nature. Try not to complain during the week. That's very difficult. So we all do it. So how do we process this idea of what it says in Scripture in Philippians chapter 2? Well, I think we have to have the right perspective. I don't know if you've heard this story or not, but I'm going to tell you this story. It's about a cowboy. It's about a dog, and about a horse, and about a sheriff. Story goes that there was a cowboy who was driving on a dirt road back in the backwoods of Kentucky. And in his truck, he had his trusty, faithful dog in the back of the truck. And connected to the truck, he had a horse trailer with a horse in there named Betsy, right? And he was driving on this dirt road, and lo and behold, he got into a terrible accident. Terrible accident. His truck flipped over. He flew out of the front seat. The dog fell out of the truck, and the horse trailer flipped over. Just a very, very terrible accident. Luckily, there was a sheriff that was pretty close by that was able to go and meet the needs of this situation, this terrible situation. So the sheriff walks up, and the first thing that he sees is he sees a horse laying on the ground with two broken legs. And if you know anything about horses and when they break legs, it's really a deal breaker. So he walks up to the horse, and the horse is just in pain and misery. So to end the horse's misery, because the sheriff had a really kind heart and was really sad about what happened, he pulled out his revolver and he took the horse out of his misery. And then he walks further and he sees the dog laying on the side of the road. And us people who have dogs and love dogs, we hate to see dogs in pain. This dog was in pain. Misery, squealing, and it couldn't be saved. So he pulled out his revolver again and ended the dog's misery. And then he moves on a little further and he sees the cowboy laying in some weeds and some bushes. And he goes up to the cowboy and he asks the cowboy this: are you okay? The cowboy looks at the sheriff and at the revolver and he said, I am perfectly fine. This is the greatest day of my life. You know, oftentimes when it comes to difficult situations or how terrible life is, we have to change our perspective just a little bit, right? Just a little bit. And this morning, I think the scripture talks a lot about this idea of attitude and changing our perspective. Before we get to Philippians chapter 2, I want you to open up to Numbers. Numbers chapter 11 this morning, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 4. Numbers chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. The Bible says this here. Now the people complained about their hardship in the hearing of the Lord, and when he heard them, his anger was aroused. Then fire from the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. When the people cried out to Moses, he prayed to the Lord, and the fire died down. So that the place was called Taberah, because fire from the Lord had burned among them, the rabble with them began to crave other food, and again the Israelites started wailing and said, if only we had meat to eat. If we've spent any time studying the Old Testament, if we have spent any time looking at the children of Israel and the relationship with Moses and God, you know that this people group had a lot to say about what was going on. Well, first of all, well, what's the context, preacher? We know that the children of Israel were in Egyptian slavery, right? They had to live a very hard, difficult, rough life. They were making bricks. Some people say they built the pyramids, and they had a very hard life, very difficult life. They were often beaten, persecuted, didn't have enough food. Life was very, very hard to them. They began to cry out to the Lord. And the Lord said, okay, I'm going to rescue you, and I'm going to rescue you through this guy by the name of who? Moses. Very good. So here Moses enters into the picture, and he rescues the people from Egyptian slavery and bondage and delivers the people from Pharaoh. The children of Israel are excited. They're overjoyed. They saw all these miraculous signs and gifts, and you would think that that's the end of the story. Everything's great. Everything's well. Everybody's happy and excited. But the children of Israel, as soon as they got out of slavery, begin to murmur and complain. And the thought process is, well, what do you have now to complain about? You were in slavery. You lived a very difficult life. God freed you. He is leading you. But we know that they started to complain to God about just all kinds of stuff. It's too hot out here walking through this desert. There's not enough to drink. There's not enough to eat. Provisions are poor and horrible right now. You took us out of Egypt and brought us into the desert to die. So for them, their perspective was, this is a horrible situation to be in. Life is terrible. So they started complaining. And then we look at Numbers chapter 11, and we see them murmur and complain. And you know what happened with God? God got a little fed up, didn't he? Just a tad. He got a little angry, a little upset. Why? Because these people who he was leading were complaining so much about how terrible life was. So we see in this text that God sent down some fire and burned and consumed the outskirts of the camp. And then they complained about the fire, right? But the fire went away, and you would think at this point that they'd be overjoyed and never complain again, right? But then we get to verse number 4. Just two verses down, they begin to complain another time, talking about food this time. Like, can't you ever just be happy? You see, the children of Israel always had something to complain about. What's the principle? What's the idea that I want to share with you this morning? It's this. I believe that one of the quickest ways to make God upset is to complain about how terrible life is all the time. I don't think God is pleased when we complain about how rough and how terrible we have it. I don't think he's pleased when we go to our workplace and all we do is complain about how hard it is or how terrible it is or how people are mistreating us. I don't think God is pleased when we talk about how rough we have it financially and how difficult it is. I don't think God is pleased when we spend so much time of our lives complaining about how terrible we have it, neglecting the idea, neglecting the fact that God is leading us if we call ourselves disciples of him. I think the quickest way to make God upset is to complain. And that's what we see from this text. God spared them, and they complained again. So now let's get to Philippians chapter 2, okay? Let's flip over to Philippians chapter 2, and let's look at this very difficult verse for many of us, in particular for me, because I'm educated well in the craft of complaining. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 says this: do a few things without complaining. Don't you wish it said that? Do everything without complaining or arguing. Oh, really? But complaining is what I do. Makes me feel better. Why? So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. Oh, I couldn't stand this verse coming up when I was younger. My mom was very good at using this verse. Jason, clean your room. Oh, mom, I don't want to. Do all things without murmuring or complaining. Oh, this verse is just so hard and so difficult. We're complaining about how we shouldn't complain in this verse. I mean, it's just, right? It's tough to follow. It's tough to follow this. But there's some principles that I think we need to pull out as we kind of exegete the text just a little bit. Well, first of all, what do we know about Philippians chapter 2? The beginning of Philippians chapter 2 talks about Jesus being king, Jesus being Lord, and taking upon the form of a servant, fashioned in human likeness, and became obedient, right? Obedient until death on the cross. I mean, Jesus, King of kings, Lord of lords, came down here and took upon the form of a servant, didn't open his mouth, didn't complain, was beaten, mistreated. You talk about a difficult life. My goodness. And then, as we read through this passage, this intertestamental echo that we read from, we get to verse number 14. And then it gives us perspective, right? And it says, well, since Jesus was able to do that, what do you have to complain about? Do everything without complaining or arguing. Carry out your obligations. Carry out your calling without complaining. And I think oftentimes we experience hardships and difficulties, whether it be in work or our family lives or financially, as a test to see what we're going to do with it. And if we spend all our time complaining about how terrible or how rough it is, it's communicating to God that we're not ready for something better or bigger, because we can't even handle the small item that is before us. So how can God use us for something bigger and better and greater? It's a test. And I hope that this morning we're all passing our individual tests with flying colors. I hope that we're able to not complain and we're able to keep our heads held high when we deal with difficulties in life. And I believe this: if you don't remember anything I say this morning, remember this. If you complain, you're setting yourself up for failure. Did you know that? When you complain about something, you're really hurting yourself. And I know we don't think about that. The story goes, there was a lady at a job, and she really, really loved her job so, so much. I mean, she loved the work that she was doing, but she was sarcastic. Have you ever met somebody that was really sarcastic before? I mean, just really, it's like, wow. She was just really sarcastic, and she would go up to her fellow coworkers and just complain about how terrible her supervisor was. I can't stand my supervisor. Just kidding, right? You know people like that, right? Are you being serious? Are you joking or what, right? I can't stand this job. Oh, I'm just playing, right? And eventually people caught on to this and chatter began to happen and the word got all the way up to the supervisor. And the supervisor went up to the lady and said, hey, I heard that you've been talking negatively about our corporation, our business, that you've been complaining. And she said, oh, I'm just kidding. It wasn't serious. He said, okay, that's all right, no problem, just keep your job. And then he said, just kidding, and fired her, right? So, you know, when we complain, we set ourselves up for failure, and we're really knocking our knees from under us. When you complain, you're not hurting anybody else but yourself. And that's why the scripture says, do all things without complaining. And the reason I'm preaching from this subject this morning is because, like I said, I'm really good at complaining. I can find anything to complain about, right? The scripture says we shouldn't be like that. Well, why? If we're able to control ourselves and not complain, what does that do? Well, the scripture says it here very clearly. You'll become blameless and pure. Children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you will shine like stars in the universe. Powerful, powerful passage of scripture. Next time you're at work and everybody's complaining and fussing and arguing about how terrible it is, you just keep your mouth shut and keep your head held high and you smile and say, I'm going to pray about that. When you're in a toxic environment and things are just rough, and you know, once one person complains, it's like a snowball effect. Have you noticed that? You don't say anything. You bite your tongue and you pray about the situation, and then all of a sudden people start looking at you like something's wrong with you, right? Why are you not complaining? How come you don't have a terrible perspective or outlook on this situation? Why is it? And you say, well, because I know who God is. And I know that he's in charge. And I know if I follow the tenets of scripture that he'll be able to move and to shake in this situation. So I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about it at all. And I think that's what the scripture is trying to teach us here. And when people see that, that becomes contagious as well, isn't it? Doesn't it? Yeah. I want to end with this passage of scripture. I want to end with Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, and I want to look at verses 36 through 41. So what we see is we see people complaining in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we see this command of doing all things without complaining. So really the bottom line, the important question to ask is, well, how do we do that? How do we practically do that? Because it's easier said than done, right? So what do we do about it? Well, I think we take it to the scripture, and let's look at what Jesus did in Matthew chapter 26. Verses 36 through 41, the Bible says this. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him. And he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Jesus said, the situation that I'm going through is so hard, so terrible that I feel like I can't move forward anymore. And maybe you're in a situation like that. Maybe you feel like the situation you're in is so hard, so tough, you don't know what to do. Jesus said, come on, let me get my friends, my brothers in arms. Maybe they can help encourage me and build me up. And he said, wait here while I pray. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet, not as I will, but as you will. Let this cup pass over me, as the King James says, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Oh, that's hard to do. It's hard to let go of control, isn't it? And say, Lord, it's not about me. It's not about the situation. It's about me humbling myself and submitting myself enough so that your will can be done through me despite my situation. And oh, if we had that mindset, church. Oh, if we had that thought process. Oh, the things that God can do through us and in this community and in the church at large. Powerful. Then he returned. Verse number 40, to his disciples and found them sleeping. Could you not keep watch with me for 1 hour? What we see from this text is that his brothers in arms let him down. And what that communicates to me is sometimes you can't rely on people to help you with your happiness. That's something that you have to handle by yourself. I know. And he comes back. Verse number 41. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Church, we're weak people. We're frail, we're broken individuals. Sometimes life becomes too difficult, too hard for us to bear. Sometimes we complain. Sometimes we lash out in anger and say things that we shouldn't say. The scripture is here very clear. The body is weak. the scripture also tells us that we have the Holy Spirit within us. And if we can just stoke that fire, God can see us through anything. What I love about this in verse number 41 is the crescendo verse. It says, you can pray about any and everything. I don't know about you, but when I read through the Old Testament and I look at David and look at some of the early prophets, when they would pray, it was like, how dare you say that to God? Oh my goodness. Like, that's not the PG version at all. Like, you just let it all out, right? What I love so much about prayer is that we can put anything that we're dealing with before the Lord. We can even say to God, I'm having a hard time, and no, I don't want to do it, Lord. It's too hard for me. It's too difficult. I can't bear it. You can pray about any and everything, and I encourage you to do so. Don't limit your prayers. But you know what is so interesting about prayer and what's so powerful about prayer is that prayer is not designed to change God's mind. Prayer is designed to change your mind. That's why it's so difficult. Prayer is designed to change your mind, how you think about the situation, how you process it, how you move forward. And when we pray, Lord, your will be done, we're saying, God, you are in charge. And if we would just give up our control sometimes and allow God to be in charge, good things could happen. We can't handle the stress in this life by ourselves, on our own. We need help from God to help us handle the situation that we're dealing with. I had a very eye-opening experience when I was a student at Harding, and I may have told you about this guy, but he's just so special to me. His name is Chris Emerson. The first time I met Chris, I remember someone holding onto his shoulder and him walking around campus, and I was like, that's strange. I guess they're best friends, or they're from a different country or something like that. But then I went up and met Chris, and I found out that Chris was blind, and he had been blind from birth. And he would walk around campus. He would have somebody lead him. And I remember one time I was hanging out with Chris, and he got up from the table in the student center, and he tripped and fell in front of everybody. And I was so embarrassed for him, and I was so upset too. I was just angry, like, that's just terrible that he has to deal with it. And I remember helping Chris up. I said, Chris, how do you keep from being so upset and angry about your situation? I mean, you were born blind and you have a tough life ahead of you. How do you not complain about that? Because I could complain about that all day. He said, you know, at least I'm not deaf. And that was like a punch right between the eyes. I said, oh. He said, you know what? I was able to get up when I fell. He said, so why spend my time complaining? And when he said that to me, it just hit me in the core of my heart. It's something I'll carry with me forever. We can spend so much time thinking about the negative and the difficulties and the hardships. Or we can say, you know what? I could have it a lot worse, so thank God for what I have to bear. My goodness. Maybe you've seen this picture. I want to end with this last picture. This is a picture of the ridiculously photogenic guy. I don't know if you've seen this picture online or if you watched any news specials on this, but just study the picture for a moment, okay? Maybe something stands out to you as a little odd. The story goes that there was a marathon in the state of South Carolina about a year ago. How many of you have ran marathons or half marathons? Are you guys runners here? Okay, one or two. All right. Maybe we'll have to sign up and get together. Okay. but this guy was from the state of New York, and he went down to South Carolina to run a marathon. And I don't know how many of you have ever had to run long distance before, but it's not fun. It's not fun. It really isn't. Your back, your feet, your breathing, it's hard. And this guy was running a marathon, and they were at the final lap, the finish line. And as he was running through, look at everybody's faces. They were at the 26-mile. People were frowning, sweating. Life was hard for them. People in the background just looked grumpy and angry. And then you see this guy. It's like, what? How can you smile like that? What you're going through is hard. It's difficult. How can you have a smile like that on your face? And they call him the ridiculously photogenic guy. I love this. I want to be a church that is a ridiculously photogenic church. Meaning, no matter what we're going through, no matter how hard it is, we continue to move forward with a smile on our face and our heads held high, knowing that God's in control and he can get us through the finish line. Maybe there's someone here that hasn't been following the tenets of the faith too well. Maybe you've been allowing your situation to hold you down and to discourage you, and you've been complaining a lot about it, and it's been festering, and you're slowly knocking your knees from under you. I would say this invitation is for you. God is not pleased with complaining. He doesn't want us to be that type of people, and I know you're not that type of people, but the flesh is weak sometimes. Allow God to build you up and encourage you through this invitation. Maybe you aren't a Christian this morning, and life for you has been really rough lately. We always give you an opportunity to come forward and become a Christian. Put Jesus Christ on in baptism. It's the greatest decision that you'll ever make in your entire life. I guarantee you that. We want you to become a Christian today. Put the Lord on in baptism. Whatever your needs or concerns are this morning, we invite you to come together while we stand and sing Song of Invitation.
Just as I